Hey guys, welcome to the Babbles Nonsense podcast. This is Olivia
and Jonna,
and today we're back with part two of Bree's story. I hope you listened in last week. You know Bree had an amazing weight loss journey and experience with surgery, and this week we're going to dive a little bit into her story about her hysterectomy and also tell a little bit about why Jonna and I don't want to have kids in the future.
Right. And then I'm also going to share a little bit about my hormone journey as well. We do babble a little bit more in this podcast, so you know how we do. Hope you enjoy it as much as we enjoyed interviewing Bree. So let's dive into the interview. With Miss Bree.
Hello.
Welcome back to the Babbles Nonsense podcast. We are talking about hysterectomies in a young 30-year-old female. Mm-hmm. That's bizarre.
Yeah.
I love it though. I want to know my biggest thing because I have struggled with hormone issues. I've never really sat down and done a podcast episode on it, which I probably need to.
Yeah.
I've struggled with being quote unquote perimenopausal since I was 30 mm-hmm. due to my thyroid and other issues. I have some kind of metabolic dysfunction we can't figure out. But I want to know, being, you said you're 31?
31.
When did you decide you want to have a hysterectomy?
Just a little starter for podcast. Yeah. The one thing that kind of brought together Jonna, me, and Bree was that we are all, I'm not 30 yet, but I'm about to be. We all have decided that children are not in our life's
right plans. That's a good point. I didn't
and
point that out.
I think that's what really got us, like, oh my gosh, me and Jonna at the time were like the only people that I knew that were choosing to proactively not have children. Mm-hmm. And then I met you at the gym and you were like, oh yeah, I'm gonna have surgery in a few weeks. And I was like, oh, and what? And you're like, oh, a hysterectomy. And I was like, you're young, you know. And I just had no idea. And you were like, you know, me and my husband or my boyfriend don't really want children. And we both agreed on that. And, you know, it's a good time in my life to go ahead and make that decision and take care of everything. So
I
had to tell Jonna. I was like, because
we were both like, I'll be 36 this year. And I was like, I don't want children. I've never really wanted them. And when I met you, and you were probably the youngest person I met, that I was like,
and there's so
children
many,
too?
So many different reasons, like environmental or like how we were raised, so many different reasons of why people don't want to have children. And I do feel like, especially in my generation, it's becoming more of a thing. I think there was so much childhood drama that now people,
I think it's not even,
they're double thinking. They're really running it through their heads.
I don't
like
know if it's more of
finances
a thing or if it's more people are willing to talk about it.
Well, yes. And it's more accepted.
And I feel like people realize the weight of kids more now because they know their parents weren't ready. And they grew up with that. So now I think we're just more, truly more educated now. Like we know, hey, babies aren't going to be easy. So every time somebody has a kid and they're like, I just didn't know it was going to be this hard, I'm like, come on. You have got to be kidding me. Everyone told you, you knew this was coming. Like,
have you ever had a dog and how hard that is?
So
I think you should have to, and I made this comment like two nights ago to Jake. I mentioned on the last podcast, I was a nanny for a couple of years.
Best birth control.
Yes.
Best job, best birth control.
I love my girls. I text their mom weekly to check on them. I still go see them every couple of weeks. If I go to Target and I see some sandals on sale, I pick them up.
The kiddos.
Like, they are literally like my kids. The youngest one came home from the hospital to me, and her mom went back to work when she was 4 weeks old, like to the day.
Wow.
Yeah. 4 weeks.
Because America does not help with maternity leave at all.
Exactly. Exactly. So nice. And so it was literally, like, I feel like I went through, like, postpartum with the baby because, like, I just, like, it was so overwhelming. Like, not only did I have two kids at home already that I was helping raise, but then you throw a baby into the mix of it, and
a newborn
not
just a baby, a
weeks,
newborn
4 weeks, and the middle one was like 17 months old.
Whew.
Oh, right.
Hell to the no. And like,
but
hell
people do that. No. But people do that all the time.
I know.
People,
that's why I said hell to the no.
Yes. People like consciously have their kids so close together. And anytime I have a friend. Yes. Anytime I have a friend now that like, and I always said if I had kids, I would have them back to back. That way you can use the same car seat and use the same stroller and all this other stuff. Yeah. Like, this is how I'm going to do it. Ain't no way in hell. I would make that decision.
I love you right now.
Oh my God. Like,
yeah. Is that what made you decide you didn't want children?
So I had, so it's kind of funny to me that I don't have kids because growing up, you would ask me, you know, what do you want to be when you grow up? I never wanted to be a doctor. I never wanted to be a singer. I never wanted to be a cowgirl. Like, it was always a mom, you know, like when you're like six, people just say like the kids are like, yeah, I want to be a whale when I grow up. So like it was never anything like that. I always wanted to be a mom. And like, even when it came time when I graduated high school to pick a career, I didn't want a career because I wanted to be a stay at home mom.
See, and that's, like that is very strange that you went from wanting to be a mom to not wanting children at all. Because I always from day one.
Well,
thank you.
My parents knew.
I have had kids my whole life. I have four younger cousins that I grew up with very closely. Two of them lived with us. Like, my aunt and my two cousins lived with us on and off growing up. And the baby, my youngest cousin, he was born in March of 2000. And so I was born in January of 92. So that's what, 8 and 3 months. And that's my first memory of like a baby that I was responsible for. And I was 8 years old. My nieces are 9 and 10. I wouldn't let them watch my dog.
Yeah.
Like, I would not leave them alone with my dog. And I was like taking care of a newborn baby. Same. Like, and I'm not saying I was like raising him, but like, I'm sure I was left alone with him at some point, even when he was that young.
Well, that's what made me not want children, because my sisters and brothers all had children. So I was 10 when my stepsister had a child. And I remember waking up or watching, not being left alone or anything, but I was like, yeah, I don't want this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so like, I remember like being in like, I don't know, 5th or 6th grade and having kids that I babysat over the summer at my house. And like, I always, every year after I started driving, and probably even before that, I had like in the summer, like I would have kids that I would babysit all summer. Like, one summer I had like 6 kids that I kept. Oh, like, yeah. And so like, I've just always had, and like, it's coming full circle now, because like, some of the kids that like I used to babysit like have kids now, and I'm like, I'm a grandmother. Like, I'm a literal grandmother right now.
Well, I'm a great niece. Yeah. Great aunt, not niece. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, that's probably why I like got married. I don't want to say in a rush, but that's probably why things move so fast, because both of my sisters were married and they both had kids, and like, it just,
you felt like your biological clock was just ticking away and life was passing you by.
And I mean, like, all of my friends had kids, and I like would not take anything in the world for any of my kids. Like, I say I have like 25 nieces and nephews, and like, that's all of my friends' kids. But like, I would not take anything for any of them. But the more I thought about it, and like, me and my ex-husband, like, actively, I don't want to say we tried to get pregnant, but like, we weren't preventing it.
Right.
And so like, and that was like the only time in my life that I wasn't on birth control for like, I don't know, 12 or 18 months. But yeah, we just never got pregnant. The universe had a better plan for me, thankfully. but yeah, like, I just, and even like, even then, when I say like, we weren't trying, but we weren't preventing, I don't know that I really wanted kids then. I think it was just like, that's just, I love kids. That's what I'm supposed to do. Like, I don't know that I ever wanted to be a mom, or I just knew that I loved kids. You know,
to care for people. Yeah.
And so, yeah.
That's when, for sure, I feel like the first thing people think when I say you know, me and my husband aren't having any kids, or they'll be like, when are y'all going to get pregnant? Mm-hmm. And I'm like,
we're not.
Hopefully, yeah. Never. But I feel like the first thing they ask after that is like, well, do you just not like kids?
Yeah.
And that could not be further from the truth.
Right.
Yeah. I don't judge my friends for having kids.
Well, I've had friends like that. Path. Like, they'll be like, well, you don't, like, they'll ask for babysitters or something, and they're like, I'm like, why didn't you ask me? And they're like, you don't want kids. And I'm like, well, that doesn't mean I don't like them or I can't watch them.
Right.
Yeah, I love them. I just don't want to go through childbirth.
Right.
Oh my gosh. And like, I don't want the financial burden of being in the hole the rest of
or
my life.
Not even just the financial burden, but like, I'm the type of person, like, if I want to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and go to the gym, what am I supposed to do with this little thing over here in the bassinet? What am I supposed to do with it?
Exactly.
I can't, you just can't come and go as you please anymore. Yes. Like, your life is no longer your life.
Yeah.
Can't be selfish. Yes. That's for sure. And I feel like people, you know, immediately when they're like, oh, you don't want kids, so you just don't like them. And I want to preface this entire interview by saying, like, none of us hate children.
Right.
And we do not judge our,
but I think we know ourselves.
We're just trying to explain where we're coming from and like that. Our perspective
but also,
is different.
Why
like,
does
wanna,
no one?
I want to babysit your kids. But I also, want to give them back.
But also, if you don't like kids, fuck them kids. You ain't got to have kids.
You don't
like,
have to like.
But why
them
does no
sure.
one think like that's actually commendable of us for not wanting children? Because you can't just have. Well, you can. But if you're having children unresponsibly or you're not ready for them, I wouldn't say
unresponsibly or emotionally be there for them, you are going to wreck that child's life.
Like, yes.
So I think it is commendable to say, if I say, hey, I know myself and I know I'm selfish and I know I want to come and go as I please. Yep. So I know this isn't for me. That is actually a commendable thing.
Yes. And I've had a lot of people, my old manager, she's, I don't know, probably in her 50s. And when I'm like, it came up one time that I didn't want kids. And she was like, I'm so glad. Like, I wish I knew. Obviously, she loves her kids and she would never take anything for them. But she has also like, her kids are like, I don't know how to say that nicely. They're just not great. Like, her kids just aren't great. They treat her like shit, if I'm just being completely honest. And so like, and her kids are like 25 and 28 and like, they're still like treating their mom like shit. And she was like, I just didn't know. I had that. Like
some people,
you get married and you have kids, period.
Yes, like you graduate high school, you go to college, you get engaged, you have kids,
especially
and
she's
grandkids.
Yeah,
it's just the way of life. And to stray from that is very polarizing to some people.
Yeah.
Especially in the South.
Yeah. And so, like, I guess when I got divorced, I was, like, dating again. And so, I got back on birth control and stuff like that. And I had a lot of problems, like, finding a birth control that worked for me. I had an IUD in my uterus. Horrible. I had the one in my arm. Horrible. I was on the depot.
Stick.
Yes.
Did
I was
the depot shot.
Yep. I was on the depot shot. Made me
horrible, crazy.
This is now my birth control.
Okay.
The Aura Ring. Cute. Because it does basal body temperature in the morning.
Non-sponsored plug. Get us a discount code. Sponsor us, please. Yeah. Thank you.
But the Aura Ring does the basal body temperature, so you know when you're ovulating, so you can actually avoid ovulation. So it syncs with natural cycles if anyone's interested.
Neat.
We need to get a sponsorship, please. Yeah. At Aura Rings.
But you don't even need that anymore.
I don't even need that anymore.
So what made you take, like, when you're just sitting on your couch and, you know, you and your husband are just decided, you know, we're not.
Right.
You know, we're not.
Because there's other options.
The
you could have done a tubal ligation versus a hysterectomy.
What made you be like, you know what? I think I'm going to have elective surgery and get my, I don't know what it is, removed because I failed anatomy.
Yeah. Did you? Well, first, and I know this podcast is all over the place right now, but like partial or full hysterectomy. So a partial would be you left your ovary so that you have good hormone production, or a complete would be everything's removed, ovaries, uterus, everything.
Oh, wow.
So they took my tubes, my uterus, and my cervix.
So you left your ovaries.
My ovaries.
So you had a partial. Okay.
Partial with a bilateral tubal something. Yeah. I don't know. They asked.
I'm going to need an anatomy book.
Yeah.
But they left your ovary so that you could have your own hormone production because you are 31 years old.
Correct.
Okay.
So they're just floating.
Yeah.
Like you don't have tubes, but you have your little like ovaries in there.
They're
attached. Like, so the ovaries go like, I wish this was a visual podcast because y'all would laugh. Like the ovaries are like attached to something, they come down and then your uterus and your fallopian tubes are connected to that.
But okay. So they took your tubes.
Like your tubes don't hold your ovaries in place. They're kind of like,
We don't know. I don't know. Yeah. We don't know. They're attached.
They're like attached, okay. I guess, like to the inside of like your body wall. I don't know.
They were like an
My sister is really well versed in this stuff. So
y'all keep talking. I'll pull up a picture.
Yeah. My sister is like incredibly well versed in this stuff. If we want to get her on the podcast.
It's so annoying.
Yeah. Ugh. Yeah.
Nurse practitioner.
Yeah.
Oh my. Yeah. Okay. Jonna is actively showing me a picture of the female anatomy system.
So she has her ovaries left and all of this was taken out.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the ovary?
Yeah.
It's just floating.
Mm-hmm. It's not floating. It's connected. Yeah. And then it's like up to here on your bladder wall. Mm-hmm. I think. Don't quote me.
Yeah.
Up here at the top, like your bladder would be right there.
Okay.
Because your uterus hits your bladder.
Yeah.
That's why when you get pregnant, like people have to pee a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Did your surgery affect your bladder?
I don't.
I could be completely wrong, guys. Dude, I'm not a female. Yeah. I'm acute care only. And that's why I chose acute care. So I didn't have to deal with female kids. And OB and children.
Yeah.
Like, this is why we don't have kids.
Going back to the first question, like, what made you decide that versus just going, hey, I could just get a tubal ligation and not have a surgery?
So I remember going to like the first doctor that I went to after my divorce. And I was like, hey, I need to get back on birth control. Because like I was a horrible patient. And when we stopped, like when I stopped taking birth control, when I got married, I just kind of quit going to the doctor too, which like,
yeah.
Whatever, but like I don't know what I was thinking, but I just like quit going to the doctor. So I go to a new doctor and I like tell him, and I was like, you know, is there anything that I can do that is like more permanent than a birth control, like long term? Yeah. And so that's how I ended up with the IUD and the one in my uterus, and that didn't work out. And so they tried the one in my arm, and after that I was like, okay, like is there something like, you know, guys get vasectomies and they can get that reversed. Is there something that women can get done and get that reversed?
Long term and reverse.
Yes. And they were like, well, you can get your tubes tied and that can be undone, but it's not, you know, like 100% certain that when you get them undone, you can get pregnant again and you can get your tubes tied and still have a period. And because I really didn't want to get pregnant, but I really, really didn't want to have a period. Like that was like,
gotcha.
Because like, I always said if I got pregnant that I would like make a game day decision about what to do with that, you know, like I'll have it or I'll terminate or, you know, I'll cross that bridge when I get to it. But I knew for sure I didn't want to have a period. Like, that's another thing is I had been on birth control since I was like 12 years old. Yeah. Like I started getting my cycle very early. I mean, I was in like fourth or fifth grade and like I was put on birth control the first time by a pediatrician. Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Because like that's, you know, like that's the only thing that they think they can do to control, you know.
But that's, I've read a book because I also was put on birth control because I started having hormonal acne. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And
it started with acne for me too.
But I also read a book that says like we have to go through those things. Like you have to let your children go through those things because that is normal hormonal process. Mm-hmm. And when you, and this is just my personal opinion, the book did not say this, but like I was on birth control from 14 to God, upper 20s. Yes. So almost 10, 15 years. Mm-hmm. And I'm pretty sure that's why I have the hormone issues that I have now, because my hormones just never rebounded because I had synthetic hormones. But I'm pretty sure that's why we have infertility issues.
Mm-hmm.
Like
an autoimmune disease.
Yep.
Just because like you're giving the synthetic hormone, your hormone production shutting down. We have no idea if it's going to come back or not. Mine never did.
Right.
As soon as I came off birth control, like that was probably 28, 29. Mm-hmm. So I got my hormones tested when I was 30, undetectable in labs.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Never rebounded. Mm-hmm. So then I had to be put on bioidentical hormones at 30 years old because I was on hormones since I was 14. Mm-hmm. So it's just, it's insane. And now we have to let, like, that's the point of being a teenager. Your body has to go through that process. And yes, it sucks.
And to grow.
Right. And it sucks because you have to go through all this awkwardness. You have to go through these horrible periods, these cramps, this acne. But once you get through those years, 3-4 years, it all levels out.
Yeah. And I think mine was probably just like from a, again, uneducated thing. And I was
We all did it.
Yeah. Well, and I was so young, like even like my parents, like being okay with me being put on birth control. I was so young. Like, I mean, I think I was like 10, 11, 12 when I started getting my, how do you explain to like a 10 or 11, 12 year old, like how
birth
do you
control
well
is.
And like how to use a tampon if you haven't even had the sex talk with them,
right?
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, it's just like so many just levels of uneducation, you know, like how do you have that conversation if the discussion was never had with you and then you're raising a kid? How do you have that? Like,
it's generational for sure.
Exactly. And so, yeah, I had just been on birth control for ever.
So basically they told you the only solution for getting rid of your period and not getting pregnant was the partial hysterectomy.
Well, so that doctor, had told me that, you know, getting your tubes tied, if you get them untied, you may not be like, you may not be able to have kids.
Right.
It may not stop your period. So we really don't like to suggest that unless you're like, we suggest that more for, preventing pregnancy than like period control or whatever. And so I just like got back on birth control pills and dealt with it and dealt with it and dealt with it. And I guess when I turned 30, my primary care, was like really harping on me about getting off of hormonal birth control because it was getting to a point where about every 6 months they were having to up my dosage for my birth control because it wasn't strong enough. Like I would be okay for like 6 months and then I would have like a really bad cycle, you know, bleed for like 2 weeks and just horrible cramps. And so they would up my dosage a little bit and that I would be okay for 6, 8, you know, 10 months. And so I just really got sick of that. And it had gotten to a point where I was on such a high dose of birth control that if I didn't take my birth control with a meal, it was making me sick. If I forgot to take it one day and had to double up the next day, it was making me sick. If, you know, if I forgot and took it after lunch, it was like keeping me up at night, like just all this. And every single time I went to the doctor, they were like, we really need to get you off this birth control, you know, like hormonal birth control can like increases your risk for blood clot. Yeah.
Bone density, yeah. Like the osteoporosis, yes. All that
stuff. And they were like, you know, you were overweight for so long, you're already susceptible to this kind of stuff. Like, but they weren't offering me any options that I hadn't tried because like I had tried the thing in my arm. I had tried the thing in my uterus and like I had horrible side effects.
I'm gonna be very honest with you. I think it's commendable for whoever even did your surgery at 31 years old to even offer that solution to you. Because when I've mentioned to my OB, you know, that I don't want children, it's never a discussion of, well, here's your options. Yes. Like
I was told 2 years ago that
you're too young. What if you change your mind?
In the state of Alabama, you have to be 32.
And that's not true.
Then my primary care doctor was like, who made that rule up? And I'm like, oh, my OB told me that I had to be 32.
They say because you'll change your mind. Or what if you meet someone in the future? Or like, and some people, some I've heard have to say they have to bring their husband in. And the husband has to agree.
Yes, because.
But nobody has to go to the vasectomy agreement.
Right.
Don't
get me started on that. But while I was, when I was married, I had, my ex-husband had made the comment that like, he didn't want kids or something. I don't even remember. He was at a doctor's appointment with me and he had made, you know, the comment that he didn't want kids or whatever. And my OB at that time said, well, after she pops out your first one, if you want to sign for her to get her tubes tied, we can do that. And I was like,
why does he have to sign?
Yeah. Like,
and why does it have, like, why do I have to pop a baby? Why do I have to make,
like, what the hell is good? And that was like my first,
we forget that we're not very far from where women didn't have rights. Like
we're not
right.
We're getting back to that, but that's a whole nother, whatever. But, my liberal will come out and I'll lose all your listeners will like excommunicate your podcast. So
let's not do
yeah,
that.
Yeah. So, but yeah, it was just like and I had met with several, I want to say my doctor now, I had probably been through about 5 doctors telling me that I couldn't, there was no options for
me. That's what I was saying. Like it's commendable because every time I've ever even mentioned, like, cause they always ask you when you go in for your yearly, like, what are you doing for birth control? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, what? They're like, do you want, no, I don't want kids. Well, it's never a discussion. Like, well, do you want a tubal? Do you want this? You're almost 36. Like you're almost a geriatric pregnancy anyway.
Right. And oh my gosh. So I didn't know, again, I'm not in the medical field and I'm not very educated on this stuff, but I didn't know, I thought when you had a hysterectomy, you went into menopause, and that's why they didn't do them.
What I thought.
That's why they didn't. That's why you'd leave the ovaries for the hormones.
Well, see, I didn't know that was an option, because all of the women in my life that I knew that had hysterectomies had kids and were having problems is why they had to have the hysterectomy, whatever. And it was like a full hysterectomy. Like, I didn't know there was any difference.
Right.
And so, I have a friend who was having a lot of trouble with her cycle. She has kids, whatever. She goes to my doctor, goes in for an appointment, and I don't know how long she had been seeing her, but my doctor is like super like progressive, and she was just like, if you don't want any more kids, we can do a partial hysterectomy. And so, like, I didn't even know until my friend had a partial hysterectomy that they could just take.
That was a thing.
I didn't know that was a thing.
Yeah.
And so... Anyways, she had hers, and she had a pretty easy recovery from everything that I gathered. And then I was like, I'm going to make an appointment with this doctor. And
was it a female doctor?
Yes, it's okay. Dr. Rachel Peterson here in Huntsville. She operates out of Crestwood, and I will sing her praises until the end of time, because it got to be about time for my annual exam, and I called, scheduled as a new patient, went in for my very first visit with her, and just for like an annual exam. And I was like, you know, I was talking to her, like the nurse, and I was like, I'm 31, I don't want kids, and I want to know my options for, like, I don't want to get a period anymore. Like, is there some? I said, I want to get my uterus removed. And she said, you want a hysterectomy? And I said, well, I don't want to go through menopause. And she said, yeah, you don't have to. And I was
right.
I was like, well, I'm just like dummy uneducated over here. But yeah. And I mean, she literally, my first visit with her, they, you know, asked me about my periods. I told them all the problems that I'd had. And they took like my measurements and did my exam and all that day. And I walked out that day, my first visit with her, I did not expect it to be like that, because I thought, you know, all these other doctors had given me the runaround.
Yeah.
And so I expected to have to, you know, come off birth control and document this and that and the third, and like it be this whole thing, because I thought,
with your surgery history, you thought it probably was going to be this whole like insurance and like runaround process.
Exactly. And like bodily autonomy stuff and everything that's went on in the last year. Like, I didn't know, like, I thought for sure it would just be like a process. And I walked out with a surgery date 3 weeks later to get my hysterectomy. And so she was just like, you're 31, you're grown. Yeah.
Now, have they talked to you about like checking your hormones just to make sure like that you're not going through menopause, because women are going through menopause earlier now, whether it be the hormonal birth control we're on, whether it be environmental factors? Like, did they talk to you about like, hey, let's check on maybe once a year, every 6 months?
Yes. And I think it's, they wait like 6 months after your surgery just to kind of like let your body level back
out. Right.
And then they check them. And then I think like they do that like every year.
Good.
Still need to go for your annual. Right. Like, even though I'm not going to have like
the cervix, but you'll still have, you could still, there are still vaginal cancers that can happen. So I get that. Yeah.
And so I think they monitor it then.
Ovarian cancer.
Yep.
Yeah.
I think they monitor it then.
Did you take any blood before the surgery so that you would have like a level to compare to?
Oh, that's a good point.
No,
I didn't know if they did that. Yeah,
no. To my knowledge, I've never had issues with my hormones.
But here's the thing that I have a problem with, because I didn't know I was having issues with my hormones, and I thought it was my thyroid. And then my doctor was like, you know, we really should, you're 30. Mm-hmm. Let's check. All zero.
Yeah.
But that's the thing, like women, and I was talking to a colleague today about it. Like, women just, we chuck it up because everything's like, oh, you're a woman. You're just having hormone issues. You're just moody. You're just, you're just crazy, quote unquote, whatever. And we don't ever get our hormones checked.
Yeah.
And if a man's testosterone was zero and they're getting man boobs, or they're not growing hair, they're gaining weight, like instantly, yes, let's put you on testosterone. Yes. But why is it such a big deal if women, like, why are we not checking women's hormones? Like, baseline 30, you need your hormones.
Yes.
35, you need your hormones. Yes. 40, you know.
Yes.
So you know you have a baseline.
Yeah.
Well, and I think I don't think that is like typical.
It's not. It's
for
it's
them
not.
To check. Like when you go for your yearly like checkup, they check your iron and they check your vitamin D and they check your hemoglobin and your A1C, blah, blah, blah. They check all that. But like, I don't even think a normal panel check, like, I think you have to ask for that.
So I was, I was initially going to a male OBGYN, love him. He's great. Mm-hmm. Like, I really don't have anything negative to say other than like, it was right after I had we found out that I had no hormones and my testosterone was low. I was like, oh, this is why I go to the gym all the time and I can't grow muscle. Mm-hmm. Like, makes sense. And my progesterone was also low, but I was like refusing to go on progesterone just because I was scared because I'd heard so many things or whatever. Mm-hmm. I was like, I'll take the testosterone. So when I went to my OB appointment, he was like, hey, any new medications, whatever. And I was like, yeah, I'm on testosterone. He was like, why would you do that? Mm-hmm. I was like, well, because I have none. He was like, yeah, but you don't need it. You're a female. I was like, You still have to have it. Like they all balance each other out. Like, no, I don't want to be at a testosterone level of a man.
You don't want to be growing a beard.
And then he was like, that's what he said. He was like, well, you're just going to grow a beard and you're just going to, and I was like, no, like
I'm just going
to
have energy.
So I then switched to a female, which I initially didn't care. But, and I like, again, I love my OBGYN that was a male. Love him. He's fantastic. He's a high risk doctor. He delivers amazing. But the fact that like when I try to discuss my hormones with him, it was just kind of like not hitting.
Well, and I think that's just like male or female. Like anytime I go to the doctor and have been like, I'm tired. They're like, oh, let's check your iron and let's check your B12. Well, that was normal. Okay, cool.
And I'm a huge advocate for that. No one tests thyroid appropriately.
Yeah.
No one.
And like people... Well, if you could lose, like, if one more doctor tells me if I could lose 20 pounds, that I would feel, well, no shit, I would feel better if I could lose 20 pounds.
But it's not always that.
Well, and it's not even that simple. Like, it's not even that simple. Like, so I'm actually, like, on the hunt for a new primary care.
Oh, I got somebody for you. I'll give you when you get off. Yeah.
Perfect. Thank you. But also, I was, like we talked about in the podcast, the last episode, I was employed privately, so I didn't have insurance for like 2 years.
Yeah.
And it's expensive to go to the doctor with that. Sure. I mean, just to go to a walk-in doc in the box, that will run you $250 if you're not careful. Like,
well, my friend Adrian just developed a direct primary care for people without insurance and a hormone clinic for women in Huntsville. It's telehealth, or you can go in if you want to. And it's called Cove.
I follow them.
Yeah. Their so I'm actually really going to have her on the podcast soon.
But I love their marketing.
Yeah. So, and she's phenomenal. Like, she's been helping me with my hormone issues, but like phenomenal. I think very well priced for hormone things, because I think there's a lot of upcharge for hormone testing and stuff, which is absolutely ridiculous because women need it.
Yeah.
So I can't wait to have Adrian on.
Women need tampons too, but we still have to pay for those. So
100%. Pink tax.
Yeah.
Why are our razors? Yes. Everything's more expensive. Anyways, that's a whole nother podcast.
It is. But yeah, so to answer your question, no, I haven't been monitoring my hormones. And they did a blood panel before and they could have. And I was just so shocked that I was going to be able to have my hysterectomy in 3 weeks that like, I just kind of, you know, like phased everything out, because then I've got 3 weeks to get ready to have a hysterectomy.
Yeah.
And so, and you know, like that's a big deal.
Cause it's a big surgery. Well, like it's a major surgery. It's not just that easy. Like people forget, it's maybe more easier if you're delivering a child and then you can do it right there. Mm-hmm. Like vaginally. Was yours vaginally or was yours abdominal?
So mine was laparoscopic.
Okay.
Abdominally, but then they remove everything vaginally.
Okay.
So like, I guess they like go in and cut it up.
Yeah.
And then, I don't know.
Cause my aunt went in for, I think, a vaginal, because she's older and like,
but
she was having issues.
But if they can't come out, they have to cut your stomach. Yeah.
So then she ended up with a major surgery and she came out of the surgery. And I was like, oh my God.
Yeah. Because if
Olivia's face, I wish this was a visual podcast.
Yeah. If something happens, they came in and talked to me in like, in my pre-op, they were like, you know, if something happens and like your uterus is enlarged or whatever, and it won't,
or adhesions or any kind of thing in there that they didn't anticipate, like
if we
uterine fibroids, anything.
If we can't get it out vaginally, we will have to. And like, from my understanding, it is just about like having
a
C-section. Yeah.
Or they gotta cut your stomach.
It's abdominal surgery. Yeah. So it's like essentially if you went in and had a colostomy or something.
Yeah.
Like they're having to move shit around. And
yeah.
Wow.
And so, it just, everything just kind of like, because then you have to like, go for your pre-surgery testing and blah, blah, like all that. So I had like a pre-op visit, my pre-surgery stuff, just like having to get everything like in.
What was your prep for surgery?
Having to get
Did
everything.
They make you eat a new diet for like 1 week or just no food the night before? Or
yeah.
Like what?
So apparently, so when I had my weight loss surgery 10 years ago, you got this stuff. You would like get it from the dollar store. It came in a little glass bottle, magnesium citrate. Mm-hmm. Apparently, you can't get that over the counter anymore.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah. Apparently, like you can only get that like with a prescription now because people are like
abusing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, like I know like when I was like 21, if we would go like out, you know, Sammy T's Friday Night 3-for-All, let me just show my age real quick. And like need to go to work the next day or, you know, like you've binged all weekend and you just need a good clean out and a reset for Monday morning, drink 2 bottles of magnesium citrate
wow.
and you're good to go.
Okay.
I just remembered what magnesium citrate is.
Yeah.
Y'all, I have a traumatic story, but I'll just wait. It's the funniest thing.
And so,
this is why I married Greg, but I'll let you finish and then remind me about magnesium because I have the funniest freaking story. Okay,
yeah.
Go.
And so they just had me a couple of days before surgery start Miralax just to kind of keep everything
right,
like, moving and normal.
Because it's then, abdominal surgery. You don't want to get super constipated.
You don't
want to
get constipated, anesthesia, pain pills, you know, just, and because of my weight loss surgery, I run a little bit dehydrated all the time anyways. And because of the weight loss surgery, I try to get a lot of protein in every meal. And so maybe a little TMI, but like, I don't have the most regular bowel movements like all the time anyways.
Right.
And so they were like, you know, for just a week before drink, you know, 1 or 2
That's so
Miralaxes,
good to know.
Yeah.
Okay.
Leading up to,
yeah,
and
I
then,
did that before any of my surgeries, just because anesthesia blocks you up, man.
It does. It does. And then if you're taking like pain pills, like that will like, and like anesthesia like slows everything down and blah blah blah, and so, and especially like you're having abdominal surgery, so you don't want to have to be like pushing to go after surgery. So they kind of
so
like,
painful.
They were like, you would rather have diarrhea for 2 weeks than having
same.
To like,
yes.
same.
Like, just trust us. Like, you don't want to be having to like force it out. So that was really all I had to do. I think like the day before I could eat breakfast like normal, eat lunch like normal, and then eat like a small dinner and then nothing to eat or drink after like 10 o'clock or something like that.
Yeah.
And then went in for surgery the next morning, had to be at the hospital at 7:30. They put me in pre-op and I think I went back for surgery about 9:30. I think I was in recovery by like 11 and I remember it being, I vaguely remember Jake walking in the room at like, and I think I asked him what time it was, and I think he said like 11:45. And then the next thing I remember is like, I don't know, 1:30, 2 o'clock. But I woke up from surgery. I was hurting pretty good.
Did it feel kind of like period cramps or
no
different pain?
So I don't think my pain was from the surgery at all.
Okay.
They like from the act, like I don't. So they put you, from my understanding, I've never seen a hysterectomy performed, but from my understanding, they like put you in like
the
stirrups.
Oh, wow.
And then just kind of like leave you like, just hang it.
So and your pelvis was hurting.
On display.
Yeah.
So like my legs and like,
you're
I
like,
don't
man,
know.
Man, this has nothing on burn. Like,
yeah.
This is my leg day, man.
Yeah. Well, like, you know, like when you go like for your wax and you just, you're just like laying there
on display
for
the world.
And it, you know, it takes a few minutes, but then like your legs are hurting from
the
like,
right.
Just the
yeah. And my leg will start shaking.
Yes. They'll just be shaking. And so, I'm not really sure what the discomfort was. And I think it was more like gas pain than anything, but I woke up and I was nauseous. Anesthesia always makes me super nauseous. And the nurse was in my room and I said, I'm hurting and I'm about to start throwing up. And if you don't give me some Phenagrin, I'm going to puke on you. And
I would
she was
kill
just,
to be
well,
a
we
pissed
are
off
so glad
nurse.
That you were recovered.
Yeah. But, so, I mean, like I was fine. I was fine. I was up like Friday night, like
Oh, good.
I was up Friday night, like walking around the hospital floor. Like I was like, my back is hurting from laying in this bed all day. And you know, like our OR table is not like a hospital bed. Like it's a literal like metal table. And so my back was hurting, I guess, from laying on that OR table. But I was like, my back is hurting. Like but I've got to get up
with your, like with your abs and everything. How was that? Were you just on so many pain?
I don't know.
You were just floating.
Yeah, I don't know. They gave me one dose of pain medicine at like one or two. And then I had a little bit of a cough that was like really bothering me. And it was like making my throat hurt. And I was like, I'm hurting. Yeah. I just wanted to go to sleep. I knew if they gave me some pain medicine, I would go to sleep. But I was like, I'm hurting. Make me go to sleep. And like, I just wanted to sleep for a couple hours. And so like, I really probably could have did without that second dose of pain medicine. That
sounds amazing.
Yeah. But I didn't. Yeah, I didn't. I haven't taken any pain medicine besides like ibuprofen. And they tell you to take ibuprofen. They prescribe you like ibuprofen 800s or 1000s. They gave me Percocet too. But I haven't taken a single Percocet since I left the hospital. Yeah. And so, and the only reason I took the ibuprofen is they said to take it for 48 hours. And I'm sure that's probably more for like inflammation. Than pain. But yeah, I was like never in any like true pain.
So the first week after, were you able to walk? Did they tell you not to lift certain weight or like?
Yes. So like the first 2 weeks, nothing over 10 pounds. Okay. And now I think they said like nothing over 35 pounds. No running, no jumping. So I've been out of the gym.
When will you be off restrictions?
6 weeks usually.
Six weeks, right?
And then will you start back on a modified, probably, like on the modified workouts?
Probably. Okay. Just because like I kind of feel like I was going to the gym like 3 times a week. And so I feel like going from that to like all I've been able to do is like go for a walk. And it's been so hot. Like I've just been worried to be out in the heat going for a walk after surgery. Like I felt like I could, but I just didn't want to be like out in the heat. But yeah, so I'm nervous like about going back. Like I'm pretty sure I've probably like lost what little bit.
No, you'll be surprised because I've taken off for 6 weeks for surgeries before. Yeah. You'd be really surprised when you go back, like how much you still have retained like muscle memory.
Yeah.
That first week will probably be hard because you'll be like, gosh, this is, I'm sore.
Yeah.
But then after that, you'll be like, your muscle memory is just going to come back and be like, oh, we're used to this. We're good.
Yeah. I meant to ask this. This might be stupid. Do you have stitches or did they like on the inside?
So when I had,
that's not stupid because that's a good question.
Yeah. Removing a cervix. I'm like, it, how it's connected to your back. How do you remove something?
So I
like
had
that?
Four, I have four very, very small incisions.
From the laparoscopic part.
Yeah. I mean, they're maybe like a quarter of an inch. Like they're super, and like, I can't even really see them anymore. And they just like glue those like Dermabond or whatever that is, like that clear stuff. They just like put that like a big old glob of that. And then it eventually like falls off. I'm pretty sure I have like internal stitches like in the vagina.
Do they remove those at a certain point? Do they dissolve?
They dissolve. Like, yeah. And so.
So did that give you any pain? Like, I'm just picturing my IUD like being up there and it hurts so freaking bad.
Girl,
that's what
awful.
I would feel like stitches up there would feel like. Having a needle go through your cervix. That's what I essentially felt.
So I did not realize that I would have stitches in my vagina. I don't know how I didn't realize that because like they're taking everything
out.
I
never thought of it until you were talking about the recovery and you were saying they went in through this hole and this hole and this hole. And I was like, so how was she?
They probably, if I had to assume, they would just tack down the ovaries and that's where the stitches would be.
Okay. Yeah.
Because everything else is coming out anyways.
Okay. Yeah. And I think so like your cervix, they replace, I guess your cervix, they call it like a vaginal cuff.
Okay.
And so like,
I don't know, you're asking the wrong person. I know I'm medical, but I'm not OBGYN medical. Yeah.
So I think maybe they just like, I don't know. I don't know. I should have did more research. I should ask
Do you
more
have
questions.
Any like staples or like metal?
No.
Okay.
They're dissolvable stitches and they will do, like the second week of September. And so I think that's like 6 weeks. They'll do like a vaginal ultrasound, which they had to do one of those before to take all of my measurements and stuff. But I think they do that to make sure like your stitches have dissolved and everything's like healing like internally as it should. They didn't look at anything like that at my 2 week post-op. That was just like, are you doing okay? You know, yeah. Like
they won't, cause it's 6 weeks, just like a birth, like nothing can go in the vagina for 6 weeks because of infection risk. Yeah.
Yep. I can't sit in the bathtub or a pool, river, ocean.
Yeah.
So I'm going to the beach like 2 weeks after my 6 week.
Get it, girl.
Yeah, like I've got to.
Commendable. The salt water would be great.
Yeah.
No, I think it's commendable just for you to even share your story because, I mean, it's very controversial.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's very controversial to even talk about not having children.
I had a lot of guilt. Like, my dad would make an excellent grandparent. And y'all will hear me talk about my sisters, but biologically, I am an only child. My sisters are biologically my cousins. I was with my parents. My parents never lost me. My parents never took any other kids in. I've just always called them my sisters. I am my parents' only opportunity for grandkids. Now, my mom has a husband now, and he has two daughters. And my dad has a girlfriend, and she has a son and daughter-in-law. And so they may get grandparents that way, or grandkids that way, and they may not. But, you know, like, I had a lot of guilt behind, like, not giving, because, like, I have all these kids in my life that I love, and, like, my friends share their kids with
generously.
Me. Yes. I love my like with, kids. Yes. Like, and I take my kids to see my parents, like, but that's still not their grandkid. You know what I'm saying? And so, I did have a lot of guilt behind that, and it was like really hard for me to tell them. And I was just like, okay, I'm going to tell you something just because I feel like y'all need to know. Cause like it is surgery. And like, if something were to happen, like, freak accident, may have a heart attack on the table. I don't want my parent, like, you know, I just want to know that I'm going and have surgery. And I was like, you know, this is what I'm doing. You can ask any questions, but I don't want any comments about it. If you're going to be upset about it, that sounds like a you problem. Yeah. I'm going to need you to handle that.
That is commendable for you to like basically tell them and be like, I'm going to tell you this now. Like,
I think I said to my mom, like, if you're going to cry about it, you're going to have to like do that on your own. So,
how did they take that? Did they take it a lot worse?
No, they were actually fine. My dad was like, you're grown. I don't care. And my mom was
your mom had one.
Yes.
Do you know? Okay.
Yes. So when I was like super young.
Okay.
Cool. But yeah, I mean, it was, I can't speak for, you know, everybody, but my recovery was no big deal. I'm still really tired, but like I literally had an organ removed. And so
a pretty important organ.
And so, I'm still kind of tired, and there are like a couple of things like moves or stretches that like, oh, I'm like, oh, that kind of feels like funny. Yeah. And like, I can tell like I have like something internally is like
healing.
Yeah. But, literally if you're done having kids and you're sick of getting a period or you don't want kids, it was the best decision.
At least discuss it. You know, absolutely. It's worth a conversation.
And now that I know there's a partial one, like where you can keep your hormones and the perks of that, but not have to have a period or birth control.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's worth a discussion with anyone. Like everyone has to choose what's right for them, but it's still worth a discussion because like you said, it was never presented as an opportunity or even an option.
Yeah.
For you.
Yep. And like I work from home. I probably could have went back to work on Monday. Like I had surgery on Friday, and I could have I would have had to, you know, like take a long lunch or maybe like log off early or whatever, but like I probably could have. And I'm not saying take your time to recover, but if you for some reason you're working a new job and you don't have the PTO or you don't earn PTO, whatever the case may be, if it is more important to you in the long term depending on what you do, you could go back to work. Now, my boss is incredible, and she was like, absolutely not. You're taking off 2 weeks. And like, she's like, and then for 2 weeks after that, you're working half days. And then we'll talk about like, she's just wonderful. But, I went and got my hair done like on Tuesday. Like I had my surgery on Friday and like went and got my hair done on Tuesday. I went to like Publix on Wednesday.
You were just feeling fresh. That's good to
know. Well, and I got tired very easily, and I still do. And like, I'm still taking a nap most days, but,
I commend you for sharing your stories, both stories, like last week's episode where you talked about your weight loss journey and your surgery that you had with that. And even this, because both things are very controversial. Mm-hmm. People don't, And I'm not saying controversial in a, like a bad way. I'm just saying like people don't discuss it or talk about it because people have shit to say. People exactly. have opinions. So people are afraid to like get other opinions mm-hmm. from other people, I guess. So I commend you 1000% for coming on this podcast and telling your story you. Because it's an amazing story.
Yeah, absolutely.
To be 31 years old and you have these two major stories in your life and it's made you who you are and mm-hmm. the person you want to be, like, I'm blown away
and
by
to
it.
To know Thank who you. You are so young, like to know right. yeah. in your heart, like who you are as a person.
Yeah.
I still feel like I'm not like finished growing, you know?
Right.
And, like, I know I like my
and decision, I'm older than you in the resolve, same yeah. yeah
my resolve is that I will not have kids. I hope I don't wake up one day and I just get the baby fever, but I don't see that happening. But I feel like it is hard to talk to mm-hmm. friends if they all have children and you don't want to sound like the heartless one,
right,
just because you have a different mm-hmm. point of view. And I'm so blessed to have friends that like they get it and they don't see it as me hating their yes. kids, or they don't see it as me looking down on them mm-hmm. for making that choice, because I just want something different for myself, and everyone should have that option.
Yeah.
But I feel like a lot of people don't know anybody mm-hmm. that have made this choice. So to be able to, you know, log on, listen to this in your car on the way to work, or when you're, you know, home alone, if your husband's off on a work trip or hunting or football or whatever, you can just have your girl time with us and yep. kind of touch yeah. on topics that you might not hear in your everyday life, mm-hmm. but you might be curious about. And I think it's really cool.
It is really cool
that you have such an inspiring story
and brave enough to like just tell it yeah. because there's stories, like we all have stories, we mm-hmm. all have pasts, and some of us are like, oh, let's just keep that yeah. in, let's yeah. just not. So thank you so much for coming on for the past 2 weeks.
It's
like,
been so educational for me, truly,
right? And I hope everyone loved listening to it just as yeah. much as we love listening to it. I could talk to you forever, but yes. thank you so much again.
Thank you
everything will be linked in the show notes, mm-hmm. guys. I will literally tag her Instagram handle so that if you have any questions about the weight loss from last week or even the hysterectomy from this week, you can shoot her a DM and I'm sure yep. she'd be proud to answer yep. any questions.
Absolutely. If you have any questions for me and Jonna, you can message Jonna on the Babbles Nonsense Instagram or message me at Olivia Sparks MUA. We will answer any questions. Or if you have any follow-up questions for Bree, we would love yeah. to have yeah. her back yeah. on.
Love
so
it.
So just let us know how you're liking the episodes and if you have any guest requests or any follow-up questions for Bree.
All right, guys. Until next time. Bye. Bye.